Thank you, Brother Sean. May the Lord continue to bless us. Good morning to each of you. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I praise God for this day, for it's a day that God has made, and we need to rejoice and be glad in it. I might start out by telling you where your pastor is this morning. If from the information I've got to that, he's probably in Jensen Beach, Florida this morning. He's had a pretty good trip so far. A lot of rain, a downpour, matter of fact. And also he's had to suffer an attack of flu along the road. But he's apparently doing pretty well. I haven't talked to him since Friday noon, but that was his intentions to be in Florida this morning. I think probably if I was to put a title to my thoughts today, it would be, I believe. But the question is, what do I believe? And that's what we're going to talk about. A couple weeks ago, Brother Roger preached a sermon on, at least he mentioned, the Third World War. And it would seem, as we look at our situation today and all the comments we hear in the news and over the radio and I guess TV, I don't know too much about that part, but we're expecting just that, the Third World War being imminent. But my hope is this morning that what I say will not cause you to panic nor to despair. We need to lift up, as Christ said to his people there in the 21st chapter of Luke about the end time, to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Now, what does that mean, redemption draweth nigh? It means the promise that God has made to us that he will send his Son again to reclaim his people and prepare a place for them. I would like to start my thoughts this morning with a reading from the book of Amos. He's one of the minor prophets. Starting with the second chapter. And we might go back and read consider some of the things in the first chapter of Amos. He's talking about the Chaldeans going to come against the house of Israel. And in the third chapter, I said we'll start the second. According to my notes, it's the third chapter I want to start in. Starting with the sixth verse. Surely God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be an evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And all through the rest of that book of Amos, he talks about the iniquity of the house of Israel and the conquering of the Nebuchadnezzar. But we go to the 9th chapter, starting with the 8th verse. Behold, the eyes of the God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sheave. Yet shall not the last grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake or prevent us. In that day will rise up a tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the beaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth the seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I'll bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink of the wine thereof, and they shall make gardens and eat the fruit thereof. That statement there says, and I will bring again the captivity of my people, is quite confusing to us, at least it is to me, because it doesn't mean what I think it means, what I thought it meant, rather. And I can't understand why it's written that way, but it's written quite a few places in the Old Testament. That when he brings them in captivity of Israel, he brings them out of captivity and gives them their land. And I'll plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, and I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Let us go back to the beginning of some of this thing, when God came to Abraham and gave him a promise that his seed shall be as good, great as the sands of the sea. And yet he only had one son by his wife. And that was after he was 90 years old. But he gave him a land and promised him that he would dwell there. And it's written that he sojourned there and never found it. He spent his life, not only his life, but the life of his son and his grandson, and they never found it. A city whose builder and maker was God. Yet that God promised him that. Just as I read here from Amos. Many times we do not really put much stock or much time in the prophecies of the Old Testament. But as Amos said here, that God would not do anything save he first told his people. And he has told us. Yes, he told us about the Third World War in Ezekiel. He also, in his 24th chapter of Matthew, told us the things that will transpire before the end of time. The famines and earthquakes and pestilence in diverse places, and wars and rumors of wars. And we see that today, don't we? You know, we listen to the news and read papers and other articles, and it tells us what we have to do to be financially free and able to conduct our business. It tells us how, what to eat and what not to eat, where to live and where not to live, and things like this. But that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. I said, my thought was, I believe. And what do I believe? I believe in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, that they do tell us the truth. They testify us that there's only one way. There's only one way to survive. And that is to believe in God of heaven and of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is written that there's no other way under heaven to that salvation save through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is what I believe. There is no other way. One turn to Habakkuk. That's another small prophecy in the Old Testament. Verse 4. Behold, his son, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And here he's talking about the vision that he was given and that the desolation that was going to come on the house of Israel. And he's telling him, and this is written several places by Paul and others, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in my ability to persevere? No. Faith in the Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is our only hope. In the let's see. I wrote down someplace. It's the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the words of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And he's getting in here to the creation of the world, that he made creation out of nothing, and yet he brought about the whole world. He brought about mankind, and he brought about every creature that walks and swims and flies in the earth, as well as the earth and the heavens as well. So by faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, and God testified of his gift. By it, he being dead, yet he speaketh. Even though he is dead, his story remains. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith in himself, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as a stranger in a country, dwelling in the tabernacle of Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him for the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even a one of him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky multiplied, and as the sand of which is by the seashore innumerable. And all these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. And we are persuaded of them, and embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they see a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire the better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he had was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. James, in the second chapter of James, he said that all these things were done by faith. James, 2nd chapter, 18th verse. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he was offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The scriptures were fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Yea, see them how by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as a body without the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is dead also. I think probably we remember the story of that Rahab is mentioned here, when the spies were sent into the city to Jericho to spy out the country, they were hid by this Rahab. And when the officers or the militia came to get them because they saw them in that area, he said, they went out the other way, go find them. And so she hid them until nighttime and let them down on a rope over the wall where they'd go back to their people. But she had a promise too, because of the kindness she'd done, that when they did take Jericho, that she and her house would be saved. And they were. I would like to go now to the Book of Mormon, and we have another chapter, and I hope you don't get tired of me reading, because it tells you much better than I can. In the fifth chapter of Ether, starting with the fourth verse, wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with a surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh by faith, and faith maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always surrounded by good works, being led to glorify God. I want to read that one again, because I think it's some things that we need to remember. Wherefore also believe in God, that it might with a surety hope for a better world, even a place on the right hand of God, which hope cometh by faith, maketh an anchor to souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always surrounded by good works, being led to the glory of God. It came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto people which they did not believe, because they saw them not. And that's what Paul said there in Hebrews. It's those things they cannot see, but they have to believe because of things that are. And now I, Moroni, I would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, despite, dispute not because you see not, for you receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. For it is by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after he had risen from the dead. And he showed not himself unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he showed himself unto the world. But because of faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world, and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that whereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore we may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. Behold, it is by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore by faith was the law of Moses given. But the gift of his Son hath God prepared a more excellent way, and is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. For if there is no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracles among them. Wherefore he showed not himself until after their faith. Behold, it was the faith of Alma and Amulek that caused the prisons to tremble to the earth. And I want to go back and won't take time to read it because it's too long to read, but I'm going to tell you, maybe you don't remember what he's talking about here. There was the faith of Alma and Amulek that caused the prisoners to tremble to the earth. Alma, when he gave up the position of chief judge, because he was also the high priest, he thought it was necessary that he go out and strengthen his people. And he went to the first town and accomplished that task and restored them and strengthened them in the faith. But he finally wound up in a little town called Omonaha, I believe it was. And there was no receiving. He left, decided to give up. But as he left, he was told to go back. And on his way back, he met a man by the name of Amalekai, I believe it was. And he told him he was hungry, and the man said he recognized Alma as a man of God, and he took him to his home, and he fed him, and found out that he was a Nephite. And through the conversation, he was converted to this mission that Alma was going to. And they went and talked to the people of Omonaha and tried to convert them all. It was a very wicked city. And they took them prisoner, both of them prisoners, and bound them in chains. And then, to make things more miserable, they took all those who believed in what they had tried to teach them, women and children, and burned them. And caused that Alma and Amalek could watch that, which is more than they could bear. And Amalek said, "Why don't we call down angels and stop this thing?" Alma said, "No. God's going to let them do their thing, that their judgment might be right." And they tormented Alma and Amalek in prison and slapped him and spit on him and beat him. And they weren't afraid to die if it was to the glory of God. But finally they said, "Well, if your God is so great and so strong, why don't he deliver you?" And at that point, Alma lifted his voice to God and said, "How long do we have to suffer these afflictions?" When he said that, the chains fell off of them, and they were free. The earth trembled and shook to the point that they thought the building would fall down. Did this several times, and finally the building did fall down. And Alma and Amalek walked out because they had faith. And it goes on to say, "And it was by faith that Nephi and Lehi wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost." This Nephi and Lehi was the sons of Helaman, the son of, well, of Alma, or I think the grandson of Alma, I'm sure, but they were the ones that was alive at the time Christ came, not the ones that came here at 600 B.C. They were taken in prison also. And by their faith, they testified to the people of Nephi the truthfulness of the gospel, or the Lamanites rather. And that God proved to the Lamanites, because they were encircled around by fire and they was trying to persecute them, and they saw that Nephi was not hurt by being standing in the fire. And there was another man there, and I can't remember who his name was right now, but he was a Nephite, and he knew what it was all about. And he told them that because Nephi and Lehi was talking to somebody in the fire, he's there talking to God. And they're not hurt. And because of that, the whole multitude, several thousand, were converted to believe in the words of Nephi and Lehi. "Behold, it is by faith that Ammon and his brethren were wrought with so great a miracles, wrought them by faith, even those before Christ, and also them who came hereafter. And it is by faith that the three disciples obtained a promise that they should not taste death, that they obtained not the promise until after their faith. Neither at any time hath any wrought miracles until after their faith. Therefore, they first believed in the Son of God. You know, this is one of the things that we're seeing in our world today. I don't suppose it's just here in the United States that I don't know how to put this to words, but it appears that we're being tried to take away the belief in Jesus Christ and God in heaven. We cannot pray in public. We're not supposed to. But as they say that anytime there's an exam in school, there's prayer in school. And so it is with us. And the time comes, and the time is here, that we need to pray with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength, with a pure desire and a faith in God that He would bring about His purposes upon the earth. He said He will. He prophesied that He will. The sequence of things that are lie before us are somewhat confusing, I suppose, that we do not know what comes first or what comes second. Almost all my life I can remember being taught and talked about the second coming of Christ. And the building of the temple out here. In fact, we tried it, didn't we? Why did it fail? It wasn't time. The Book of Mormon plainly tells us that the New Jerusalem would not be built until after this land is cleansed. That the house of Israel will go through us like a lion among sheep. Cut off our cities and destroy all their belief in God. And only the humble and repentant will remain to build the New Jerusalem. I was talking to a Utah people a month or so ago, and one of them said, if we had had that, it would be built. I'm sure it would. Or they'd be dead trying. But it's my opinion that it will not be built until God is ready. I don't care who it is or what they've got to do it with. He proved that to me. We are having a lot of confusion and comments today about the illegal aliens here in our country. But the house of Israel is going to go through this land like a lion among sheep. He's going to be among them. He's not coming from over there or down there or up there or wherever it is. They're going to be here among us. And we can't stop it. We can't stop it. That's God's plan. So what is our defense? Like I told you to start with, it's faith. Not just dead faith, but faith that works. Now we have seen some, we have seen some miracles of God. Perhaps not to the extent that some have. But we have the testimony of those who did see them. We have the testimony of Peter, James, and John, who saw Christ, or went with Christ up onto the mountain, and saw him transfigured. What does that mean? He glowed with the glory and the presence of God. He glowed. And he talked with Moses and Elijah. And they were so struck by that they fell down. And God, Christ, told them to be of good cheer. But not to tell anybody till after he had suffered death. Paul said he knew a man, and we assume it was him himself, ascended up into the third heaven. And there he saw and heard unspeakable things. Things that he couldn't write. It spoke here of ether. Or Brother, well, I didn't get that far, did I? Down in the 21st verse. And after this, 22nd. And behold, we have seen in this record that one of those was Brother Jared. For so great was his faith in God that from the sight of it, so great was his faith in God that when God put forth his finger, he could not hide it from the sight of the brother Jared, because of his word which he had spoken to them, which word he had obtained by faith. And after the brother Jared had beheld the finger of the Lord, because the promise of the brother Jared had obtained the faith in the Lord, could not withhold anything from his sight. Therefore he showed him all things, for he could no longer be kept without the veil. Yet by faith our fathers have obtained the promise of the things which are come upon their brethren through the Gentiles. Therefore the Lord hath commanded me, yea, even Jesus Christ. And I said unto him, Lord, well, they talk about they was afraid that the Gentiles would mock at them because of their weakness in writing, but the brother Jared saw all things, and he was commanded that he should not write them. They are written, if I understand it right, but they're sealed up. They were part of the Book of Mormon that was could not be translated. And were not allowed to be translated, let me say it that way. Because he was told that Christ's apostle John would write them. And we would have those. And we do not quite understand them sometimes. But there will be a time when those things will be given to us. And we will understand more perfectly the end time. But by faith, we have to believe with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and keep his commandments and go forth. You know, we have seen some marvelous things in our recent days. The carrying of the gospel to Africa. First to Mexico, then Africa, then the Philippines, and in the middle there was Honduras, and now also India. It's another indication of the signs of our times. 24th Matthew said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world for a witness, and then will the end come. But if we had just sat back and said, well, God said he's going to do it, I'm going to wait and see. It would never have happened, would it? We got up and went. I say we, some of our brothers did. And when they got there, they tried to tell them about the church. And they said, we know all that. We know all that. How did they know? God is doing a work. And these are evidences of the time that we're living. They said, just tell us how to live according to Christ, or how to be the church of Christ, I think is the way they said it. But that is our hope, that we are living the way Christ has told us to live. Just tell us how to be the children of God. That is what faith is. Not only believing, but doing what he tells us to do. That is faith. Not dead faith, but working faith. We talk about things we've seen and what. I think most of you have probably heard the story of our brother Nicholas Denham. In his last years, not his last days, but his last years, he recited to me at least one time, and I've heard it before, other two before. He was laying in his bed one morning, early, and the room he was laying in was filled with light. The ceiling opened up, and the heavens shined right through. And he looked up into heaven, and he saw the most beautiful things that you can ever imagine. And he lay there just soaking it up, so to speak, just filled with the Spirit of God and the love that was there. And he looked and marveled at what he saw. The ceiling closed up. The light left. He lay there in despair for a moment or two, I suppose. He said, oh God, why did you take it away? He said, well, I can always remember. And just like that, he couldn't remember a thing. He knew it was beautiful, unspeakable, but he couldn't remember just what it was. And when he said, why can't I remember? He was told, when you are sufficiently humble, you may. We have these testimonies, not just the ones in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, but we have it in our own midst. God is real, and so is his Son, Jesus Christ, and so is heaven. Real, unspeakable. We can't describe it. The 22nd chapter of Matthew tries, but I don't think it even touches the beauty, the marvel, and the joy that's there. We're called to have faith, a working faith. A faith that would not be shaken. And though the world is trying with all of its efforts and might and mind to shake our faith, we know that God is true. His promises are true. And that's why I say this morning, I believe with all my heart. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. And now I'll ask you the question that I've just asked myself. Do you believe? If you do, Christ tells us in John to keep his commandments. All of them. So do you believe?